withholding nothing, withholding nothing, oh Lord, withholding.
Love. spirit, O God, to let the heartbeat of heaven let us hear. Oh, we feel the rains of your love, feel the rains of your spirit, to let the heartbeat of heaven let us hear.
Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for your presence in this place. God, I can't even fathom going to church and not sensing your presence. We're so honored in this house. God, as you're here, Lord, you show yourself, you touch people, you heal people. God, we give you praise and thanks for loving and caring about every even small need that we have. Lord, there are some that have walked in this room today that are overwhelmed, and I thank you that you, by your Spirit, are going to touch them right now and give them a peace that doesn't even make sense to the natural world. But God, you'll set them free in Jesus' name so that they'll see that with God on their side, they cannot fail. Father, I thank you for healing the person, Lord, behind the right knee. God, that tendon, in Jesus' name, we command that tendon pain to be gone, that stiffness to be gone in the name of Jesus. Lord, they'll have no more pain in that area. Father, the individual that's dealing with tendonitis in their right hand, God, I thank you, Jesus, in that right forearm and hand. God, I give you praise that, Lord, they'll be able to move freely in the name of Jesus. God, we honor you that you care about every little need that we have. Lord, whenever you open those floodgates, we position ourselves to receive. God's healing another individual on your right foot. It's the joint in the big toe, the large one before the toe itself. And God is healing that, taking the stiffness away, and the pain will be gone. When you walk, you won't have that same pain. In Jesus' name, I thank you, God. Restore that knuckle. And in Christ's name, I declare it. Father, brand new right in the foot in the name of Jesus. There's an individual having headaches, constant headaches, going around the front of your head, and it drops down into your left eye socket. And God is saying, I'm going to take that away. I want to show you that I love you, and I'm going to prove it to you. There'll be no more pain right now in the name of Jesus. I command the pain to be released by the power of God in Jesus' name. God, we thank you that you love us. God, today we position ourselves to say, flow, God, in our hearts and our lives any way you desire. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you for it, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. On your way back to your chair, make sure you welcome at least five folks you do not know. Do not sit down. Turn right around. Go find somebody you don't know. And you might make you a little uncomfortable, but you'll be all right. To be friendly, come on, the Bible says if you want a friend, you got to be friendly, amen? Woo! Say hi to somebody.
Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Following me, your grace.
Yeah.
Is chasing me down.
Chasing me down.
Chasing me down.
Go.
Goodness and mercy.
Yeah.
Following me.
Oh.
Oh, oh.
No more condemnation.
No more condemnation.
Hey.
You still have a minute and 49 seconds to say hello to somebody. Come on now. Get out of your chair. Go find somebody you don't know. LaRue, get out of your chair. Go find somebody. Hi, Pastor Chad and Sister Jade. How are you?
Wow. Is the Lord speaking to me? Where is he? All right, well, good morning, HT. I'm surprised that was such a sad good morning because first service was way more awake and they were here at 9 a.m. So let's try that one more time. Good morning, HT. Wow, I even got some drums. That was awesome. You know, the Bible says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And so I'm so happy to be in the house of the Lord today. And I hear some of you are too. So that's awesome. So we get to do announcements. And so if you are new, if it's your first time here, you're a visitor today, would you just raise your hand? We're not going to embarrass you, but we want to get a visitor pack to you that has some information. Yes, let's give a round of applause for our visitors. We love you. We're happy you're here. We also have a guest reception right after service through this door. We meet with the pastors. We have some food and snacks for you. We want to meet you and tell you about our family. So we're happy that you're here. Also, if you're watching via live stream, we want to welcome you. We love you. We wish you could join us, but we know that you're probably super comfy at home. So we love you.
And how many of you guys are involved in Next Steps in the room? You're in step one or step two, Rock Solid Faith, one of the classes. Listen, we want to make sure that every single person is involved in Next Steps. This is our discipleship program. So if you want to grow, then you want to get connected to Next Steps. Step one, Rock Solid Faith, that is held 3 times every single week. So if you think you've got an excuse, we've got classes all the time. So Tuesday night at 7 p.m., that's with Pastor Spencer. Wednesday morning at 9 a.m., that's with Pastor Dan. And then Thursday night at 6 p.m., that's with Pastor Pelko. So make sure that if you are not in Rock Solid Faith, get involved and get in one of these classes tomorrow or today or Tuesday. Yeah, that's what we'll do, Tuesday. But if you've gone through step one, you want to go into step two. Yes, you have to graduate from step one in order to go to step two. But the step two class is spiritual warfare. That is starting June 6th. And that's going to be an amazing class. Pastor Obi is the one preaching or teaching it. And it's going to be an amazing time.
You know, in first service after announcements, we got a text from Pastor Cody saying, why are you yelling at everyone? Well, I want to tell you, in my country, it's not yelling. It's called being passionate. And so I'm passionate about the announcements today. And so I'm also passionate about Uproar, because Uproar, yes, awesome. Uproar believes in the youth and the young adults of this region. So with that, say after me, June 17th. It's a Saturday coming up. We are doing a park cleanup. We are heading over to clean up Eldridge Park because we did this last year. And let me tell you how many people came up to us. Just random people going about their day came up and looking at us polishing things and cleaning up. And they said, wow, why are you doing this? Now, every Christian knows that's the foothold right in to tell someone about Jesus. And so we got to share Jesus with them as well as raise money for Uproar. So I want to invite you to join us. Pastor Cody and Pastor Mindy have... Pastor Mindy. They have more, I'm prophesying. They have more information if you need it.
And then June 18th, which is Father's Day, we have an awesome event for you at Dunfield. We're partnering with a bunch of businesses in the community, and His Tabernacle is helping host the Dunfield Father's Day baseball game, where you'll come in, you'll get a Father's Day gift, you'll go through the baseball game, and then we'll even play catch, and Pastor preaches a little mini sermon at the end. It's an amazing family event, and the greatest part is it's free. You can go out to the hub and get your tickets today for you and your family and anybody else that you think would like going to an event. And then for the real reason we're up here, how many of you guys know about Awaken Young Adults? If you're between the ages of 18 and 30, I want to tell you that we are doing a monthly gathering on Sunday nights coming up. The first one is June 11th. It's going to be a carnival themed. It's going to be ridiculous. We're going to have a dunk tank. We're going to have deep fried Oreos. We're going to have, you know, all sorts of games and fun. And then we're going to come in and have a full service. So if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, this is not something you want to miss out. So June 11th at 5:30 right here at His Tab, we are going to have an amazing time. So make sure you invite your friends and anybody in that age group. And we love you guys. And that is the morning announcements. And Pastor Rhonda is going to come up and share the time of tithe and offering.
Thank you so much, Pastor Chad and Pastor Jade. We love you.
as we enter into this time, honestly, I'm going to be so short today because I am just, I could preach and take over pastor's message. So we're just going to enter right into tithes and offerings this morning. So if you're ready to give and enter into our covenant of kingdom finances, the word of God says, give with a cheerful heart. And boy, I love to, it is the first thing that we do. And when we get our paycheck, it's even on automatic deduction. I don't even see that money because it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. So it goes right out of my account before I can even see it. And I do that because I love participating with God's kingdom and kingdom finances. I love our God so much. We are so incredibly blessed to be called sons and daughters in the house of God. Stand to your feet. We'll make our supernatural declaration. I still wish we were on the last song of worship. I didn't want to leave it. All right, let's make our supernatural declaration so we can get pastor and get the word of God. Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life, God has given me.
Praise the Lord. We are so blessed today. How many of you are glad you live in America? It is awesome to live in America. And this weekend, we're celebrating the entire weekend, Memorial Day weekend, declaring that we are thankful for the men and women who are serving right now. Sometimes we forget there are literally men and women serving right now who are being shot at. Bombs are going off. They're in a dangerous position. And they're doing that to make sure that we can do this. Isn't that awesome? There are churches all over the world. In fact, this last week in Egypt, I believe they killed another 35 Christians just because they're believers. No other reason. If you're a believer in different countries, and let's just take North Korea, if they catch you, they literally behead you just simply because you believe in Jesus Christ. We are such a blessed people. Can I hear an amen or oh my? And today we want to honor all of those that are serving. And Brother Bonomo, one of our Marines, is in the front row. Can you stand up and wave at everybody? Stand up and wave at everybody. As well as we have so many others in the room that are or have served. If you are here and you have served in the armed forces, if you'll please stand, we want to say thank you so much for your service. Look at them all. Amen. We had a large crew in the first service as well. We just want to say thank you so much. Can you give him one more hand clap? Thank him so much for freedom. Thank God. There's always a price. Freedom is never free. Everybody knows that, right? Freedom is never free. It costs. And we just want to take a moment. Let's pray for those that are overseas or in harm's way this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for all the men and women of the United States that are in harm's way. God, that are in a position of securing our security, Lord, by paying a price for our freedom. We thank you, Jesus, for them. Bless them. God, wrap them in your arms. Let them feel, let them recognize that they're being prayed for right now in America, no matter where they are in the world. So, Lord, we just pray right now for them. Lord, I pray a special blessing on all those who have served. Lord, let them be blessed. Let their families be blessed. For, Lord, they have learned to sacrifice. And, God, they have given up their life, Lord, to make sure that we can have this life. And we honor all the veterans in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I am just so blessed to be here as your pastor. And in a Memorial Day weekend, we've had great amount of people in church. I'm very excited. Normally, this is the moment that there's an echo chamber in the kingdom where everybody goes on the 3-day vacation. And we're glad that you're here. Turn to somebody and say, I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Matthew chapter 6. We are getting ready to answer the last why. Turn to somebody and say, why? Why? Everybody has questions. Why? How many of you know that every question is a good question? There are so many places where you're not allowed to ask your questions. We want you to ask questions here. We want you to know why. God is big enough for your why. How many of you realize that? God is okay with you asking why. He's all right. He's not so small that he can't handle your why. Your whys are important to the Lord. We've handled a few of them. Why your prayers don't get answered. Why bad things happen to good people. What was last week? Somebody remember? Why is there so much gossip in church? How many did that help? Did that help anybody? This week we want to answer, this is our last week on the Why series, is why does church always ask for money? How many of you have ever had somebody come to you, well, I'm not going to church. All they want is your money. Have you ever heard somebody say that before? Yeah, I'm not going to church. They're just after your money. That's all they want is your money. Isn't it amazing when you start recognizing and looking at this topic, how touchy this topic is? You know what's really interesting, too, because it has to do with culture, is down south, this is not as touchy of a topic as it is up here in the North Country. In the South, man, you can preach on finances forever, and everybody's happy. You start preaching on money in the North Country, and everybody purses their lips. I mean, it's a dangerous situation. But you know, I believe that as these questions and statements are being made, it's responsible for the church to understand or bring an understanding of the why. And this is a very important one, since this really is all about who you and I are. You know, we might ask, and for me, this is one of my favorite ones to answer. Why is this one of my favorite ones to answer? Because when you find out the why, it's going to demand you to respond. So I set you up, didn't I? Turn to someone and say, he set me up, dear Lord. When you understand the why of why churches always ask for money, then you can't just sit there and ask why. There's going to be a response from you. It's either going to be a very positive response or a negative response. Neutral responses are unacceptable. Why is that? Because that means you have no opinion, which means you don't think. And you got to think. Turn to someone and say, you got to be a thinker. Amen? So the verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 says this, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted, everybody shout devoted, devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Do you know the word mammon there does not mean devil? So many people think that the devil is strong. I want you to know what's stronger than the devil is money. God said there are only two masters, the master, the king of kings and lord of lords, or the master money. And you'll find that many people sell their soul for money. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a person give in exchange for their soul? There's a truth that when you start talking about money, many exchange their soul for a little bit of money. And everybody it will sell for different prices. Here we are. We've got to make a decision what master we're going to serve. So this message is a little loaded. Because when you really understand why churches ask for money, or why do they always, or churches just want your money, when you understand the why, it gets down to not about money at all. This has nothing to do with green bills that are printed on paper that's not even worth what it's printed on any longer. The truth is we're in a position that money is all about our lives. How many of you know that everybody is consumed in this room with money?
Not me, Pastor.
Oh, yes, you. How many of you go to work on Monday morning and you go to work just because you love people and you want to hang out and help the company that you work for? That's the only reason you're there. No need. You just want to have fun. That's the only reason you go to work. Come on now. How many here are going to be honest? Why do you go to work? Money. You spend 8 hours plus of your day to earn. Come on. Oh, Pastor. But you know, Pastor, I just love the Lord more than I love money. Well, then maybe you should spend as much time with the Lord as you do with money. Drop the microphone. We're in a position where so many of us make statements that make no sense at all, because money plays a massive part in every one of our lives. Every one of us are surrounded in our lives, are literally gelled with money. That's why it always confuses me when nobody wants to talk about it in the church world. Well, because everybody gets mad. Well, it's time to start getting over your madness, because it's madness to be mad when you're talking about something that is so infused in every facet of your life. How many of you go to the supermarket? You go to the supermarket to spend? Huh. You drive a car, you need gasoline. So you go to a gas station and spend? How many of you have sold something? Why would you sell something? Money. Everything we do is wrapped around money. Ask a child. Can I have that? Take a kid, take a 2-year-old to Walmart.
I want that. Can I have that?
They want it. It's all about money, and they don't even realize it, but it's about spending, and it's about gaining, and this is how you and I live our lives. I've never seen a company that says, well, you know, this year I really don't care if we lose everything. No, the job of a company is to gain money. So our lives are completely wrapped around finances. And it always amazes me how so many Christians sit back and they don't want to talk about finances. It's a great question. Why do churches always want your money? And I want to be honest with you. We want your money. Pastors will stand up and go, well, we don't want your money. Well, they're crazy. We want your money. Why do we want the money? Because we have vision, we have purpose, we have direction. Now listen, I can't get ahead of myself, so here we go. It's interesting to know that Jesus knew that this was going to be a hot topic. So much so that, watch this, I love this. Jesus talked more about money than he did about heaven or hell. There's only one topic that Jesus talked more about than money, and it's about the kingdom of God. That's it. No other topic is bigger to Jesus than the kingdom. So he preached about the kingdom, and then he preached about money. It's amazing to realize that 11 out of the 39 parables are talking about money. Here's another one. Ready? In the book of Luke, 1 out of every 7 verses is talking about money. Here's another interesting thing. When you start talking about marriage, the number one and number two reason for that people get divorced is what? One of them is money. Money is so powerful in our lives. And we've got to get down to this question. Why do churches always want money? Why do churches take offerings? Why, you know, when someone says, all they want is your money, why are they saying that? Because we've got to get down to the reason of why. You know, as I was preparing the message, I asked myself, why would someone say that? How many of you have heard somebody say that before? All they want is your money. Come on, you've heard somebody say it. How many of you know somebody that's walked away from church because, they just took an offering? All they want is your money. We've had people actually say it to us. Well, I'm not coming back there any longer because all you want is our money. You talk too much about giving in that church. How many of you have ever heard that one? I've heard it a lot. You talk too much about giving in that church. Let me tell you something. You can never talk too much more than Jesus Christ. And I love talking about the kingdom, but I had actually somebody say to me, if I hear one more kingdom sermon, I'm going to puke. So I should just preach on money. That's the second thing that Jesus talked more about. Can I hear it? Amen. But what are people going to do? No matter what, they're going to complain because this has nothing to do with money. This has nothing to do with paper. This has nothing to do with the ability to exchange. So I want to handle the first one. Why do people get all uptight about money in church? The number one reason is, let's be honest, number one I want to handle is there's been a lot of abuse of money in church. There's been a lot of dumb preachers. Can I hear an amen or am I? Man, this one dude, he was my favorite to watch. I watched this one preacher. He had his own satellite dish, and I loved watching him. He was a brilliant theologian, but he was screwed up in the head. This dude here would sit down. I can't give his name. He would sit down in a chair. This one show especially, I loved it. It was my favorite. He sat down in this big leather chair with a big stogie in his mouth, smoking his stogie, and he had his liquor drink right here in his hand, his little cocktail, and then he had a big screen TV behind him with horses, you know, horse races running in the background. And he said, I just want you to hear me now. He says, I hear some of you complaining about what I do with your money. It's none of your business what I do with the money that you send me. He says, I'm telling you, if I want to spend it on my cigars, on my racehorses, I'll spend this money anywhere I want. In fact, if you don't send me $300, $300,000, I'm not preaching one more word. He had $300,000 within 3 hours. Crazy. There's another preacher that's one of my favorite ones to watch just to have fun. Yep. Oh, yep. Yes, Lord. Yep. I'll tell him. Yeah, the Lord would say, if you're, yep, I'm telling him. If you send me $1,000 right now, the Lord will save your child. Let me tell you, it's amazing on the abuse that we see within the church world when it comes to the love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. I've seen both poor and I've seen both rich. I have been poor. Someday I'll be rich. But one thing I have found, whether it be poor or rich, it doesn't matter how much money they have. It has to do with the heart that they have. In fact, for many of you, just a quick little education, a lot of the very rich preachers that are out there are not rich because they're getting a dime from their church. They've written many books, and they've gotten very rich from many books. Has nothing to do. You don't get mad at an author that's secular when they make a lot of money from selling their books, but we get mad at the preachers when they sell their books. I know most pastors that are very large that I know personally, they're very wealthy, but they're not wealthy from, in fact, they don't receive even a dollar from the church. They give more, actually, they give far more than most people in the body of Christ, and yet they still get barraged by people who are angry. Whether you have a poverty mentality or you're wealthy, it has nothing to do with the ability of you being a giver. This is where you and I have got to come to a realization, because we're going to get asked this question. So the church, all they want is your money. Why are they saying that? Because they've seen the abuse. They've seen those things that have happened that are televised of somebody buying an air-conditioned doghouse for their dog. They've seen those kind of abuses. But you cannot throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Just because some are stupid, it doesn't mean that the whole kingdom is corrupt.
And whether we like it or not, money is very important to the kingdom of God. Why? Because salvation is free, but ministry is very expensive. Can I hear an amen or oh my? You know, even in this church, it's amazing to me the rumors that have gone around. We touched a few of them last weekend. How my wife and I have $1.5 million dollar lake house that's a log cabin. And we have a Lamborghini. We have a helicopter. I really have wanted a helicopter. But, you know, we have all this stuff, man. It's amazing the rumors that have gone around. And people are saying, don't go to that church. All they want is your money. And, you know, the pastor is pilfering. I had a man one day. I bought my very first Harley Davidson. It was an FXD, which, for those who know, that's a Dyna series. It's a small, one of the smaller Harleys. And I remember buying it. It was a big step of faith. And my wife, she was really a blessing and helping. And actually what happened was I was praying, and that's when Corning's stock dove. And it went to $1.20-something. And I said, honey, I really just want to buy some stock because I want to buy a Harley. And she said, well, whatever, you got this amount, so spend what you want. So I bought it. I bought enough, and then it spiked up. I sold it at $9 and some odd cents a share, and I was able to buy the Harley. He didn't know that. But this dude walked up to me, and he said, Pastor, I see you got a Harley. How much did you take out of the offering plate this week to make your payment? And I said, what? He says, yeah, I know how it is. You preachers just take whatever you want out of the offering plate and use it. I said, dude, you know, what's the problem? He goes, listen, I will not go to a church where the pastor rides a Harley Davidson. I said, you ride a Harley Davidson. But you see, his mentality was that I was in there pilfering. And I think it's important for you to realize that this church is a church of integrity, that we do our finances with integrity. My wife and I do not see a dollar bill. You need to know that. What happens is as the offering is being received, we have security team that takes it up. They have to sign for it. It's then put in the safe. After the safe, on Monday morning, then it's counted by three unrelated people, and they have to all concur on all the details. From there, then it goes to the bank. From the bank, then we get a little notice at the end of the day how much actually came in. We have an outside accountant that's in Colorado that every month he gets all of our details, and he has to have a compilation for our bank and also a compilation for the body. We then do an annual business meeting every single year and give enormous amount of details. Man, I want you to know that this house works on integrity. And I thank God that we can stand here and say, because the devil loves to break down and he loves to discredit by finances. And in this house, we take God's finances and use them properly. You will not see that abuse in this place. Why? Because we couldn't do it if we wanted to. We're not close enough. Now, I am going to admit something. Every once in a while they're counting, I will go up into that counting room, and Carla Bishop says, get out. Get out of here. I said, I just want to say hi. Get out. What's amazing is we don't even know who tithes or doesn't tithe except for our staff. I figure if our staff isn't tithers, then they shouldn't be receiving a salary. They don't believe it enough to sow themselves. They shouldn't be getting anything from it. So honestly, abuse is one of the main reasons that you'll find your friends saying that. And you need to know that just because there has been absolute abuse, I'm not denying the abuse, that there have been people that have been without integrity, you cannot put everybody in the same loaf. Amen? With that, that excuse is no longer good in this house. Number two, I think the main reason that people complain about finances being taken in church. Now listen, we had a man come to us one time, and he simply said, I won't be back. And I said, why? He says, you received two offerings in your service. I said, well, we had a guest speaker. But I'm not going to a church that receives that many offerings. In fact, all you want is our money, preacher. I understand the way it is. You know, I have to realize that people, no matter what, I've tiptoed around this topic for years. No, I'm not kidding you. I used to hide stuff. One time we had a boat. I hid the boat because I didn't want people to say, yeah, all you want is the money. But you know what I realized? That because this has nothing to do with money, it has to do with people's hearts. I learned that it has everything to do with the heart of people, whether somebody is blessed or not. If you can't rejoice with somebody that's blessed, then you have a poverty mentality. This is a heart issue. This is not a money issue. You'll never find somebody that is a tither and is a sower ask that question. You'll never find somebody that is a giver go, well, the church just wants your money. No, they believe in it. In their heart, they know what they're doing. They know that they're giving to the kingdom of God. They know that they're sowing into ministry that's going to bring change and that's going to touch lives beyond themselves. It's a powerful thing to realize that this is all about a matter of the heart. And Jesus dealt with it himself. The book of Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 16, says this. Now behold, one came and said to Jesus, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones, Jesus? And Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and your father. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to Jesus, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Now listen, this dude would have been ahead of the game if he wouldn't have asked the last question. What do I still lack? And this is what Jesus said. If you want to be perfect or mature, go sell all that you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, the issue wasn't the possessions. The issue was the possessions had him. He didn't have the possessions. The issue is an issue of the heart. Whenever anybody's ever asked me that question, it goes right down to, you know that they don't give. I don't say it to them, but I look at them and in my head I say, I know that they are not a giver in the household of God. I know that they're not a sower. Why? Because a true sower will never say that. A true giver will never ask that question because they know that this has nothing to do with the finances. This has to do with a matter of obedience and following God's principles and stepping into kingdom finances to where God's blessing will be on me because I'm going to do and follow my God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I'm not going to church anymore because all they want is your money. It's interesting. How many of you have ever been to the gas station? You go to the gas station, they pump in $50. Yikes. They pump in 10 gallons. And the dude walks over and he says, that will be, I don't know what it is right now, a lot of money. I've never seen anybody go, oh, really? Well, guess what? This is the last time I'm coming to your gas station because you want to be paid for that gas. I'm not coming again. Never seen anybody do that, have you? How about when you go to the supermarket? You know, you get a basket full of groceries and you walk up to the supermarket and you hear clink, bink, 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 bink. Bing. And it's all done, and then they even run your card, and you just save $60. And then they look at you and say, that will be $121. And you look at them and say, $121? What are you, out of your mind? I'm not coming back here because all you want is my money. How many of you know that's just crazy? How about you go to a restaurant? Man, all of a sudden, yeah, you only go once. You go to this restaurant and you spend, let's just say, $50 on a meal. And that's not hard. Can I hear an amen or oh my? It's not hard to spend $50. You spend $50 on a meal, man, you got a T-bone steak. Oh, Jesus, help us all. T-bone steak. And then you get your mashed potatoes with a glob of butter on top of it. It starts making that pool and melting in the middle. And you have a little bit of gravy on the side. Well, let's just say beef gravy on the side. And you look over and there's some with Asiago cheese melted over top and some mashed cauliflower with a little bit of salt and pepper and a little curry on top. Ah, my God, it's good. And then you grab a hold of that bun, and that bun is hot. It's not just a bun, but it's a hot bun. And you grab a hold of that bun, you open it up, you take a slab of butter. Now that butter is just not butter, but it's honey mixed butter. Can I hear it? Amen. Oh, church is canceled. Let's go home. You start to salivate. Man, it's so good. Man, you wash it down with a Coca-Cola. You wash it down with a Coca-Cola, and man, you're full. But they come around with that menu that says dessert. And you look there, and there it is. Oh, creme brulee. Creme brulee. Not just creme brulee, but raspberry creme brulee. And the topping on top is almost a quarter inch thick. It's just candy. Hallelujah. You eat it all, and you're satisfied. And you sit back in your chair and say, can I have a cup of coffee? You get your cup of coffee, and man, you're sitting with your legs crossed, and you're just happy. You're gloating inside. Your belly said, I'm a happy, happy, happy person. Then she comes by with that little black portfolio. She places it down on your table, and you open it up, and you look at it, and you say, ha! And you close it, and you look at her and say, what? You start making a scene right in the middle of the restaurant. What is wrong with you? This is a bill. I'm never coming back to this restaurant if you're going to charge me. I came here to eat good food. I didn't come here to have to pay anything. I'm never coming back to this restaurant again. Come on now. Is that not nuts or what? Believers do it all the time. How many of you have a cable company? How many are always happy with your cable company? How many of you called your cable company and said, I'm unhappy with you, cable company? Did you still pay the bill? Sailor. See, this has nothing to do at all with money. This has to do with services and value. When you're given a service, when you value it, you pay. What you value, you're willing to give your money to. Here we are. We sit in the house of we sit in the house of God. Whose house? It's not my church. Say my church. We sit in the house of God, but people get all tweaked when you start passing around the offering plate. In fact, we don't even do that. We have you come give at the front of the altar so that you're the one giving it. We're not shaking you down in your seat. All they want is your money. My favorite one was, it costs $200 to come to his tabernacle every single week. Do I wish that was true or what? Dear Jesus. We would never have another need. But this is the craziness, because we've made this about money. The world has made it, well, I'm not going to that church because all they want is your money. It's not about money. It's about value. You know, when you start sharing with people that are not saved how you give to the church, you actually tithe to the kingdom of God. They look at you like you got 16 heads. But they'll tithe to their car payment that cost them $700. They'll tithe to the bar bill. They'll tithe to a pair of sneakers that cost $400. But yet we get all tweaked in the household of faith when we start receiving an offering to bring change in someone's life. I want you to know today, this has nothing to do with money. When they ask that question, it's not about money. It's about value. And what a person values is what they sow into. It's what they give into. That is exactly how it is. It's a hard issue. This has nothing to do with a pocketbook. Although the pocketbook tells you where your heart is. Pocketbook tells you where your heart is. You know, I do a lot of consulting with churches. And I'll sit down and I'll do a 10-year destiny statement with the pastor. And I'll say, what's one of your main priorities? And they'll say, one of our main priorities is soul winning. And I said, awesome. Show me in the checkbook where you put a dollar towards soul winning. You know what? Most of them have not put a dollar towards reaching out to anybody that's lost. So you can say you have value in something, but if you have no money in it, you truly do not. For a core value is represented by where your time and where your money is represented. So our pocketbook actually does tell us where our core value or our value is when it comes to the things of God. We'll pay a cable company, but we won't tie to the one who said, let there be and there was. Selah. For those who don't know what that means, it says ponder. We don't have a problem paying for Old Country Buffet. But when the offering is time for the church, you button your wallet. Put a password on that thing. Ah, the pastor just wants my money. You know, it's time for a change in your heart. It's time for a change in your mind. Because this has nothing to do with money. This has to do with your heart. This has to do with your value. Do you value the things of God more than you value the world? Well, of course I do. But the Bible's so very clear. We read the verse. It says this. It says, no one can serve two masters. You will hate one or love the other. You'll be devoted, which means it's your time and your money. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. That's why during the offering time, we get all those twisted faces. Because they've loved one. Now the kingdom of God is asking, because God has asked and told us that the tithe is holy, according to the book of Leviticus. Now we get mad at God because we despise his principles but love the world's. Oh, come on now. Some of you have already disengaged me. No, really. I can see it in your face. You've already disengaged me. You've already heard enough, and you're done hearing it. And I want you to hear something very loud and clear. These are not my principles. These are kingdom principles. This is not my word. This is God's word. I'm scrolling. 27 verse 30. And all the tithe. Shout all.
Well, you know, I give as much as I can.
No! And all the tithe of the land, whether it be the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy. The word holy means separated. It is his. It's not to be touched. It's not for us to go. I've told the story so many times, but my dad, when we grew up, he loved maple walnut ice cream. I hated maple walnut ice cream. But my father would buy maple walnut ice cream and put it in the freezer, knowing that none of us would touch it. And we all knew this truth. Don't touch Dad's maple walnut ice cream. So one day I decided, I'm going to struggle this stuff down. I got a massive bowl. I took that half a gallon and I left just a sliver on the end. And I ate almost a whole half a gallon of maple walnut ice cream. It's really not that bad now. Ate that whole thing. My dad came home from work. He opened up the freezer, and there's nothing but a sliver. He is so mad. Who touched my maple walnut ice cream? I got a spanking that night because I ate his maple walnut ice cream. Why? Because that wasn't my ice cream. That was his ice cream. And I want you to know there are things that are separated to the Lord that nobody should be touching. And the Bible says that the tithe is holy to the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 says that as a man rob God. How do we rob God? With our tithe and our offering. You see, this is all about heart and nothing to do with money. Because when you go to verse 7, it says, you have left me. And the people of God said, how have we left you, God? And God says, you have left me by not following my commands to tithe and to give offerings. This is heart. Amazingly enough, in the family of God, we like to enjoy God's stuff, but we have no value in it. Therefore, it doesn't matter. You want it. You want to touch it, feel it, experience it, but you don't want to give toward it. You know, the chairs you're sitting on are $65,000 in chairs. $65,000. The rug you're walking on is $35,000. That's not up here. That's just down there. The parking lot, $250,000 for a parking lot, pavement. The heat and electric's about $2,500 a month. And let me tell you, how many of you have been cold? You wonder why you've been cold? Because my wife said, turn the heat off. We like the air. We like the lights. We like the worship team. We like the sound system. Sound system, $180,000. That was half of what it should have cost. It's amazing when we start recognizing that truthfully, to do ministry is very expensive. And so, yes, the church does need you to tithe. Yes, the church does want you to obey God. Why? Because when you and I obey God, then there's not one need. There's no lack in the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing that we cannot do for Jesus Christ. You see, there's not one ministry that we could not accomplish. And I give God praise for this house. Last year, this church gave $320,000 to home missions and world missions. That's 29% of our church's budget was given away instead of kept right here at home. Why do we do that? Because where you find value, you invest. In this house, we don't talk it, we do it. Can I hear an amen? Today, this is all about heart and value. Why does church always ask for money? Well, where's it going to come from? I was thinking about getting a printing press. But I figured I'd have to have a lot of visitation. I was looking for that money tree. Haven't yet been able to find it. But I will let you know this. That God has finances and that God is our source. And when we obey the Lord, whether or not we're in a position of great wealth or great poverty, I want you to know that the Lord will always bless you. How do I know that? Because even when they had to pay taxes, Jesus said, go fishing. God will always take care of you as long as you always obey him. Yeah. I know this is one of those kind of messages. But you know, you ask the question, and your friends ask the question. And now you have the answer. Why do churches ask for money? Some of them to abuse. Some of them to take. Some of them to cheat. But the house you go to, why do we always ask for money? Because I got to see more children saved. We've got to see more young people saved before they become 18 years old. 80% of young people that leave, listen, 80% of young people that graduate high school that are not born again never will be. Only 2 out of 10 will get saved after graduation. Hordes of our young people that are going to college are abandoning their walk with Jesus Christ. The children that are down in Elmira that we bus in, 150 of them every Wednesday night. Man, they'll give you a hug, they'll love on you, and they'll cuss you out in the same conversation. But they'll hold you because they don't get held a lot. They'll thank you for being there for them. And I want you to know, I thank God. We actually, I believe last year, we had, I think, 5 young people graduate high school that graduated all because of the Uproar Youth Ministry, because they've invested and kept them going and kept them straight, and now they're in college. We're not talking, man. And this is so powerful because all of us need to recognize that when someone asks that question, they're asking that question. Why? Has nothing to do with money. Has to do with their heart. The average in America, I'll be about a minute and a half. The average in America is 8% of the church's tithe. So for every 100 people, only 8 give. I mean tithe. It's amazing. And I want to thank God in this house we're at 13%. That's exciting to me. But that means that 87% of the body of Christ that walks through these doors are not tithers. Which means what? Which means I have to ask you for offerings. How many of you hate offerings? Don't raise your hand. How many of you hate asking? Well, the pastor's asking for money. Did you realize that the pastor will never ask for another dollar ever if even 26% of this church started to tithe? If another 13% of this house began to tithe and obey God and have their value, their heart in the right position, we would already start building our new building. This building would have already been paid off, and we would have had so much to do in our community, even more than we thought or even conceived. I'm so excited because I'm believing that after today, that question is now answered, and now you're going to respond not to me, but to the Lord, because you find your value more in God than in the things called the cable company. Well, I'm on a fixed income. Tithe on your fixed income. You'll find God will always come through. The Bible says, test me in this thing. This is the only thing in the Bible that God says, test me and I'll prove it to you. You'll find that the Lord will always take care of his own. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed out begging for bread. And today, as you're sitting here, that question no longer can be a question in your head. That is now answered. Why do churches ask? Why do churches always ask for money? Easy, because only a small percentage actually obey God. When the church obeys God, you won't even have to take another offering. It will be like it was with Exodus, in the Exodus, where Moses had to say, stop giving, please. We've got too much. I'm waiting for that day. Amen? I'm waiting for that day. Because I know when we step in obedience, God's blessing is always there. Amen? Bow your head with me this morning. It is still morning. No, it's afternoon. Bow your heads with me this afternoon. Today, I just thank you for this Why series. I thank you for asking me to preach this Why series. It has been awesome. But the whys demand a response. And today I challenge you not to respond to me, but to respond to God. That you'll start being a tither. You'll start being a seeder. You'll be one. Listen, I'm believing God that next week our offerings will double. In fact, you know what? You could actually get on Text to Tithe today, this afternoon, or go on our website, and everybody in this building could tithe. What would happen? What would happen? You see, we're doing uproar this year. I can't wait for that, man. We're taking over the arena. We're going to fill 1,000 teenagers in that arena. 1,000-plus teenagers in that arena. I can't wait for Rock the City. We're doing it in Horseheads this year. I can't wait to pack out that field with people that are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I can't wait to share the gospel, be part of the parades, be part of the festivals and the fairs. I can't wait to share Jesus down on the streets, give away clothes, give away food, and share the love of Jesus that is going to change someone's life. I can't wait to give away Bibles, and people that don't have them, they can get them in their hands and open the Word of Life that will transform them. I can't wait. I can't wait to never have to ask for another offering. But today, the greatest value is you. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you need to know that God doesn't just say it, He puts it up. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He gave His all just for you. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, gave up all of His heavenly glory, came down here to live as a man. And this is what He did. He died on a cross. It wasn't some wimpish little weak death on a cross that kind of swooned, but He was beaten to a pulp. Why? He became sin for us who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God. Today, if you do not know Jesus, I want you to know that God put up His best just for you because He values your life. Today, if you do not know Christ as your Savior, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. We want to introduce to you the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in the room that would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and know that God has washed your sins away and you have eternal life? Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2, last call, and 1. Let's all stand to our feet. Today, I'm excited because I know this. Summer is here. Amen. Summer is here. That means we're almost ready to start going down and feeding the kids on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays down in the parks when school's out. May you see their faces when you show up. I can't wait to get to the parade tomorrow. We walk in both of them. My wife and I do this because I love shaking the hands of the community and letting them know that Jesus loves them. I can't wait to do Rock the City. Can't wait to do Uproar. Can't wait. It's going to be an exciting, exciting season. And I'm excited that you're here with us. Father, I just release a blessing in the name of Jesus. I declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I declare that sickness has no right in our bodies according to the covenant. We command sickness and disease to come out in Jesus' name. We declare blessing in everything that we touch and everything we do. That may we prosper in all things, be in good health, even as our soul prospers. And Lord, let us have an awesome day in you in the name of Jesus. And everybody shouted. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. If you need prayer, if you're a guest this morning, we'd love to meet you in the guest reception room right on the other side of this wall.
We are a chosen generation. All for the show is excellent.